Well, this morning I want to continue our study on God's being absolute, most absolute. And last Sunday we looked at God's being most absolute from the standpoint of His purposes. This morning I want us to be able to look at God's being absolute from the standpoint of His power. Now, you wouldn't think that the subject of power was something that we could spend a lot of time on, but in reading Stephen Charnock's works, I noticed that he has a good, 100, 150 pages, I think, on God's power. And I haven't even been able to read all of it, but I have read some of it. And what I've read has been very good. But what I want to do here with you today is to talk about the subject of God's being absolute from the standpoint of His power, and specifically in relation to prayer. So I want you to turn with me over to Matthew chapter 6. We want to look at verses 6 to 13. This is a very wonderful little section here, but I think it's funny, when I was growing up, we would always say the Lord's Prayer in church together, and it got to be something that was kind of rote. You would just say it, and I'm not sure that people really thought about it. We don't say the Lord's Prayer here in this church. Maybe we should, but there are a lot of good things that we can consider here if we'll think about them together this morning. Matthew 6 Verse 6 says, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom," and here's our word, "and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now, when we pray, there are some things here that we need to remember. What's the first one that Christ mentions to us here in verse 6? What is it that we should do?
Hallow His name, recognize Him as who He is.
Amen. We should hallow Him, hallow His name. What does that mean? What does it mean to hallow God's name?
Keep holy.
Say again?
Keep holy.
Keep holy?
Don't take it in vain.
Okay, that's very good. Very good.
Also to recognize that He's separate from us. He's different.
Yes, when we think of God's holiness, we should always think that God is different from us. Did you want to say something, Lyle?
Yeah, I just wanted to the point that my lady said. The point is that we recognize, we don't necessarily, His name is hallowed, His name is separate. We recognize it, and we want to let it be hallowed as it is. We recognize that more than that we could make it holy.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And then live accordingly, pray accordingly.
Yeah, that's good. Proclaim that his name is holy. Hallowed, holy is your name. Now, isn't it interesting here that it starts out in verse 6 and it says, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, it says here, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. When we pray, we have things to learn, is what I take from this. We have things to learn about God. We have things to learn about ourselves. I think that when we think about praying, I think that we think about it, again, oftentimes in a very rote fashion. What do I mean by that? I mean that it's easy for us to be what I would call perfunctory with God. We go through the motions with Him and we pray, but we aren't really, sometimes we're not really engaging Him in our prayers. And what this verse is attempting to bring to our attention, what Jesus is attempting to bring to our attention, is prayer is a very important component of your fellowship with God, with the Father and the Son. And what Christ is asking you to do is to go and find a place where you can be alone with God. That's what's being said here, first of all. That when you pray, you go and you find a place to be alone. You go to a room and shut the door. You go into the time of prayer even hoping and praying that you won't be interrupted. Sometimes that's not possible, especially for mothers with little children. But nevertheless, what we need to remember is that there's an interaction in prayer that's going on that is very real between you and the Father, that you see Him, first of all, as your Father. If you know Him, that you see Him that way. And what does that word Father bring to your mind when you think about that word Father in relation to prayer? Well, it makes me think that here's someone, and not all of us have had fathers that were this way, but it makes me think that we have someone that we can approach, that we can draw near to, that we can, as it were, climb up in his lap, unburden our soul, tell him all of our cares, and we have one who will listen, who is listening to what we're going to pray to him. Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
And loves us.
That's exactly right. And loves us. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that. What is it that you think of when you think of God, when you think of Him as your Father? God is absolute in power. You notice that it says so. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. God is absolute in power. What does that mean in terms of our prayers? What does it mean to you? I can tell you a few things here, but God is absolute in power. What does that mean to you in prayer?
He can answer the prayer and make it come to pass if it's according to His will.
Amen.
But He can do it.
Yeah, He can answer all of our prayers. He's not limited. He can do it if it's according to His will, Dave is saying. And how true that is, how good that is. And when we go and get alone with God in prayer, it says here that we should remember something about Him, that He is one who sees in secret. He sees in secret. Wow. Yeah, go ahead, Maria Elena.
Well, I was thinking about that power that reminds me, now I don't remember where exactly it is, but it says that God can do, and I love this, it says that God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think.
There's oh, wow. Excellent. Yeah, Maria Elena just quoted for us Ephesians chapter 3, verse 30, that God can do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Isn't that good? I love that verse, and I love the concept that we're talking about here, that the Father sees us in secret. In fact, it says here, knows all that we're going to say before we say it. Then why should we say it if He already knows it? Yeah, the Holy Spirit does groan within us and takes our prayers and brings them before the Father. That's good, Sarah. That's really good. Anyone else? Yeah, Dave.
He's told us to pray without ceasing. So it's a command. We are to pray without ceasing. So even though He knows everything that's going to be on our tongue and in our thoughts, we're told to pray and ask. It also works and causes us to bend with His will.
Ah, yes.
Because when we talk and we say these things, it reaffirms what's on our heart and our mind.
Yeah, even though God knows everything before we ask, Dave is saying that it causes us to bend to His will. That's very good. That's excellent. That we're thinking actually about what his will is. Anyone else? Yeah, go ahead.
I was thinking about faith in prayer and the verse that says that without faith it's impossible to please God.
Yes.
For trust Him, must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And thinking about the literal and the just judge and the continuous persistence of not giving up. Thinking about we engage our faith in prayer by believing God is who He says He is, and that there's no one like Him.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, we could just go to a friend or a spouse or someone else. Not that we shouldn't at times take counsel from others, but there's no one like God. So our faith expresses our persistence and our diligence in seeking Him because of who He is. And the more we look at it in the Scripture, the more our faith grows, and the more we do that.
Excellent. More our faith grows. Michael, did you want to add?
I was just going to say that prayer is an acknowledgement of our need. And when we go to Him in prayer, we are mindful of our need, and then we are also mindful of His kindness in answering those prayers.
Yeah, that's good. Mindful of our need and mindful of His kindness. Oh, that's very, very good. That's very good, because even though God knows everything, even before we ask, He really wants us to ask, doesn't He? He wants to have this communication with us. He wants this relationship to develop between ourselves and Him. And oh, how excellent a thing that is. I think I personally have a lot to learn in this regard. And a lot to learn about prayer, and a lot to learn and grow up into Him in prayer. And that's why I think there's some very blessed things here. The Father sees in secret, and yet it says He rewards openly. In other words, the things that you say to Him in secret, in other words, He's able to bring those things about so that they can be seen and openly known and understood by you as being, these are answers to your prayers. This is me doing this, the Lord says, for you. This is me doing this. And that, as Rita was saying, is encouragement to our faith and encouragement to our strength, even our encouragement to our growing up, to be mature in our Lord Jesus Christ. There's so many things that are here in this prayer. Of course, we could just go on for hours talking about them, but it says that we should pray that His kingdom would come. What comes to your mind when it says that? His kingdom would come and His will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, what is God's kingdom mean? What is God's kingdom? What can we say about God's kingdom in relation to our prayers, and why should we pray, Thy kingdom come? Doesn't God rule over all things now? He does, doesn't He? He's a king over all the earth. And He's absolute in his power.
Could it also be that His will would reign in our hearts?
Mm-hmm.
His kingdom would in us.
Yes. That is the good working and influences of His Holy Spirit, and our interacting with our God concerning the Word of God, and being a part of His church, His people, and all of the ways that God and God obviously does these good things in all the world. He strives with men. In common grace, He strove 120 years with those people before He destroyed them in the flood. And we just need to pray, though, that in the kingdom of God, meaning that He rules in our hearts, as Monty Lane is saying, that would come and grow, that the working and influence of the Holy Spirit upon people's lives would grow in relation to our prayers in specific, that people would learn to do the will of the Father in heaven, that the spiritual kingdom would advance in our hearts and advance in the church and advance in our community, advance in our nation, that righteousness would exalt our nation once again. And where does that begin? It begins with asking that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How is it done in heaven?
Perfectly.
That's right. Well, we live in a fallen world, don't we? Yeah, we live in a very sinful world. But if we're to pray this way and pray believingly, we should pray that His kingdom would come and His will would be done more on earth as it is in heaven. God is certainly, we should understand, since He's absolute in power, able to bring this about. I think that we don't believe that sometimes. That's why I bring this to your attention here this morning. We just think, well, things are so bad and they're getting worse. And truly they are, spiritually in a lot of ways. But there's a lot that goes on that we don't see, right? In people's lives, individual people's lives, even in the lives of a group of people like ourselves here this morning in this church. We don't see each other's hearts, but God does. And so when we pray, Your kingdom come, we ought to begin with us, with me, with with all of us here in this church, so that we would know these blessed influences and working of the Holy Spirit, so that we could grow more in Christ. You know, I could teach you ever so well the Word of God, and that doesn't necessarily mean that you would grow. Do you see what I'm trying to say? But you will grow if you are praying, Lord, Your kingdom come, and Your will be done in my heart, in my life, even as is done in heaven. Oh, we're not perfect, but we're commanded to be perfect, aren't we? Be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Be ye holy even as your as God is holy. So we need to see that. When you go to prayer and you pray, do you pray, give me this day, O Lord, my daily bread? That's such a simple thing, isn't it? Give me, O Lord, my daily bread. But we know we take a lot for granted, don't we? I mean, we take it for granted. Our refrigerator is full, and we're going to get up in the morning, and we're going to pour our milk on our cornflakes or whatever we're eating. And there it is, you know. But it's important enough that it's included in the Lord's Prayer as what we should do before we eat. We should give thanks and ask God for our daily bread. Notice he says daily. Give us this day our daily bread. What does that indicate, or what should that indicate to us about the subject that we're studying here today, God's power?
Kind of makes me think we're on a hand-to-mouth situation with God, our dependence on him, kind of like the children of Israel in the wilderness of manna.
That's good. Yeah, I like that. Kind of a hand-to-mouth situation. Every day we're needy, aren't we? And we need food every day. And the way that God fed them in the wilderness with the manna, it was day by day. They gathered it up. The next day they'd come out. And on Friday, then they'd gather, what, twice as much? So that they could have enough for the Sabbath day and rest. But all I'm saying is that we don't want to take any of these things for granted. God is absolute in power, and yet we could just confess that he's absolute in power, and not really believe or act upon that, or to see ourselves as needy in relation to the all-powerful God who is absolute in his power. Well, it's a good thing to be able to talk about these things. As you go on here, you see that we ask to be forgiven of our sins, our debts. They're called, forgive us of our debts, even as we forgive our debtors, or our trespasses, as it says sometimes. People say in the Lord's Prayer. We didn't read this part, but it goes on to talk about if we forgive others, then Father will forgive us. But if we do not forgive others, then how can the Father forgive us? But God is absolute in power, and all of these different things that are seen by us as showing us our need or showing us difficulties, either in our own heart or in other people's hearts, are not something that that God is unable to address or to deal with. That all things are possible with God, and we should be able to unburden our soul before God in prayer and to lay all the concerns of our heart before him, knowing that he's absolutely able to answer us in accordance with his good will and purpose for our life. Any questions before we close? Any comment? It's good for us to learn to pray. Let's pray together. Father, we do have a great need to engage you in prayer and to see you as our Father in heaven who is watching over us in all of our ways and all of our needs and sees what we need and yet wants us to ask for all the particulars. So we do, Lord. These things we've spoken about here today, help us to ask. Help us to become those who become more mature by learning to ask so that we might be glorifying to you and truly satisfied by all that you give. For we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.